I just really like that thing. I've got no idea how you would manage to climb up it, but it is an artwork rather than a ladder. You just need to know that. But I'm in a position this morning where those of you who know me will know that this is not a good sign, where I have many notes in front of me. I would expect to go to arrive with something somewhat like this, which is the result of just writing the main things out by hand, but on the other side, and I wouldn't expect to have all the colour on it either, because that indicates that there are three iterations there. But this morning I got up and just felt that there were some things that God was sharpening up for me, which are then over on the other side, and we'll just have to see how we go along. The purpose of this morning's session is to do a fairly straightforward, clear presentation, which I hope will have some passion behind it, about what we feel should be our focus for 2012. Anybody tell me, what have we said is going to be our focus? What do we feel that God's emphasising to us? Greg?
Find out what God's doing and join in.
Yeah, finding out what God's doing and joining in. Now, many of these things that you say as a short sentence lead you to think very deeply, and they've been through very many stages. Other people have talked about them, and we want to make this our own, want to shape it. I'm hoping we get to the point with this statement that everybody will say it a little bit differently. Yeah? And because it will represent where you are, where your faith is, and what's happening with you. And this morning I want to try and put this simple statement into a place that helps us understand where we've got to. And one of the things I did at the beginning of this year, a week and a half ago probably, was to actually review a folder I've got, which has got all the different things that we've gone through. I looked at our talks, and I looked at discussion papers, I looked at meetings we'd had, and thought, gosh, this is a lot of different stuff. But as I started to make a diagram and see how everything came together, I got a real sense of encouragement and confidence in God that God had been taking us through a process. And I just want to spend a few minutes as we go through our reference back, hopefully won't get too distracted with some of those things. Now I'm going to show you a little video that we showed during the summer, and this reflects the way my mind works. It's a piece of deconstruction, and right the way from the time that Wendy and I were doing staff training for Campus Crusade for Christ when we were 18 or 19, one of the things that happened was that people took songs and took them to pieces to understand where the culture was being challenged by Christ. I can remember the first time we did this, can't remember the guy's name, can remember what he looked like, but he took to pieces The Sound of Silence, which is a really, really, really dreadful song. Beautiful music, but if you actually start to listen, so I'll continue to pretend that my life will never end, that the flowers never fall with the rainfall, something like that, which is existentialism at its most extreme, and leads to loads and loads of the stuff that we see in society today. So when I do this, it often doesn't work, because the problem is that the tune is stronger than the philosophy. You know, we don't think about it. But this was an attempt to do that again with a very schmaltzy song that you all know. So do us a favour, don't sing along with it, just think about whether it's true or not. Mind you, Clapton is fantastic doing this.
Do
when I rerun that yesterday afternoon, I found myself getting out of the generalities of what I'm preparing to getting back into the specifics of what we probably taught on 12 times last year about the fact that the presence of God is with us everywhere, every when, every day. And that the real charismatic is not about our Sunday meetings, but our Monday to Saturday meetings. We believe that we encounter God in powerful ways. But if we get too focused on what happens on a Sunday, it's going to mean that we're not focusing on where it really counts. And you remember I talked to you about practical atheism, which has been a bit of a word for me. Practical atheism, which came from a guy called Greg Boyd, is about the fact that we live as though God didn't exist, and then suddenly we're aware of him being real and being around us. And it's an issue that needs to be addressed all the time in our lives, because if we don't crack this one, then we're going to be living very strangely. First of all, God is with us all the time. So if we don't feel that God is with us with the time, all the time, then what is wrong? There is something wrong with our feelings. If we can get our feelings sorted out, our emotions sorted out, then we will be aware of God increasingly. You know, if you can't feel something, you go see the doctor. You might start by taking your gloves off, right? But then if you lose sensation, you look at that as being something that's pathological. And the fact that we have become desensitized to the presence of God in the here and now, in the everyday, is just crazy. And I found that starting from the fact that I don't have to put up with having an intellectual idea that God exists, but that I can know him everywhere, every when, every how, has actually shaped me over the past while. I still am very, very, very bad at it. I can go through a whole day praying, speaking in tongues, doing all sorts of stuff, preparing words, talking to people about spiritual issues, without the joy of knowing that I'm my father's little boy and that he's right there beside me. And you know the word that Pete brought this morning, when we're conscious of being close to our loving parent, grace and mercy flows. When we're trying to be big people and do big stuff, then we get into the shame, blame, anger, depression sort of cycle. It all ties up. And that notion about knowing the presence of God in the everyday is absolutely fundamental to where we're getting to now. Because finding out, let me just move the slides on, because the idea of finding out what God is doing is for us is something that is not just theoretical. Fresh Expressions Movement has grabbed hold of this idea of finding out about what God's doing, and I suspect that sometimes it's more about working out what may get more people coming back to church. That's not what we're talking about. Because if our goal is to get people to turn up on Sunday mornings here, then we're probably more interested in something other than the kingdom of God. Okay? And what Andy's working on at the moment is really connected with that, because one of the things we've been talking about separately to what he experienced this week is the fact that we may not be cut out to carry the work at Thingley to the next stage. I know when people see me being a bit Pentecostal, they comment on it. Yeah? I can be. Wendy comments on it particularly. She really, really, really doesn't like it. But we're not good at it. We can't do that sort of thing. That isn't the particular shape of spirituality to what God has called us. But what if, for us, ministering at Thingley is doing what we can do really excellently alongside the Light and Life people, who, to be honest, if they come in, and Andy's going to go and see the guys in Swindon, if they come in, well, probably they will feel that we're living at a lower level than they are. But we get used to that, okay? Because we're trying to hold things in balance and do what God's calling us to do. We're just as bad because we feel that we've got it all right and everybody else hasn't got it quite as right as us. That's almost inevitable. But we've got to listen to God in that sort of way. And, you know, we listen to God through the Word. We listen to God through common sense. We listen to God through our experience. But as well as all these three things, we've got a fourth thing. We listen to God through encountering Him. And part of Andy's hearing this week was finding out through divine appointments, divine connections. Yeah? The fact of the matter was that who else was talking about coincidences this morning, about things coming together? Somebody did, and Marion was talking about that. Incidentally, the Pauline Barry, who was talking about, is a Facebook friend of mine and is connected with churches together and with David as well. So it all sort of, there are all sorts of connections in these things. And you say, God, there's some significance in here. Not just because of experience, but because we believe that God makes divine appointments for us. And we won't deal with divine appointments today very much, but we will actually be talking about that in a week or two as we go along. Another thing, just to mention, that we do listen. Those of you who have been involved with Cafe Connections up to now will have had a note from me during the week. If you haven't had a note, let me know. We'll make sure you get it, either by email or Facebook or snail mail. And needless to say, the snail mail dimension has brought the quickest responses. So I've got notes here from Brenda this morning about Cafe Connection. Haven't had a chance to read them. That, well done, Brenda. The rest of them will eventually catch up after I've done some nagging, no doubt. But we do listen. We listen to what God's saying. We listen to what people are saying. But we don't go out there and try and copy what somebody else is doing. Okay? We're endeavouring to find out what God's doing. So the divine appointments. Moving on. The other thing that I wanted to take you back to is that, do you remember during the last year we talked about Dayspring as being like a wheel? Yeah? Okay, we use this image. So, anybody talk me through this? Julie's got go and see someone. She's still trying to steal the cup, Sue. So. anybody remember how we talked about this?
I never understood the bit in the middle. It was far too technical, but I know it's about the rubber, where the rubber meets the road.
Okay, you got to the punchline. So right, thank you very much for that. Yeah. You remember we talked about the fact that. But what we wanted to do was to increasingly emphasise where the rubber met the road. And that this whole configuration, the rim being our daily lives, and the importance, this is the charismatic thing coming out of that inner tube. Okay, I've got this written up somewhere. We don't think we've got it on the website. We should I should probably do the work necessary to put it there. And the importance of the pneumatic tyre, you know the word pneuma, is the Greek word for spirit, as well as for wind and for breath, where we get pneumatic tyres from. And then we've got these spokes that all these things that are important, like, hey, your involvement, some your involvement, some relationships. We've got cafe, we've got cabaret, we've got on the town, there's Fingley, and there's Hillabington, and there's the Corsham Road Estate stuff, and there are probably other things. We haven't got as many spokes as we will get as God leads us on. And we also talked about the hub functions. And some of you were together on a consultation day, and we actually played a game to see who was fast at putting the hub together. We'll do a session on this sometime during the year. But we thought about the fact that we want to understand our Sunday meetings and our small groups as being right at the hub. So Sunday meetings and small groups are not where the rubber meets the road. I don't know whether you've ever tried to ride a bike like this. I'm certain in my past, idiotic youth, I have probably done that at some stage. Doesn't work terribly well. Well, for all sorts of reasons. But inside the hub, of course, you've got the connecting things here. You've got those important ball bearings of values and distinctives. You've got all that sort of stuff. But it does lead us to the fact that we are thinking in terms of becoming, focusing on where the rubber meets the road. That is why, if you come along to me and say, Sunday mornings are not really good for bringing people to, we will say, fine, we're succeeding in something, because Sunday mornings are for people who already want to be increasingly disciples of Jesus in more areas of their lives. Okay, this sounds like a revision session, doesn't it? That's really good, because that's where we are. Now, this thing about where the rubber meets the road, we already expressed in our in the little sort of mission statement, the mission tag that we've got on our logo. We brought that in a couple of years ago, all about living. So it's in your living where the rubber meets the road. Okay, this bit here, where the rubber meets the road, are your Mondays to Saturdays. Okay, that's where the important stuff is. And of course, you can begin to see how that connects with finding out what God is doing and joining in. In fact, we would be really proud of this if we'd have sat out at the beginning of last year and said, right, we're going to talk about this and we want to get all the way to finding out what God is doing and joining in. We didn't do that, guys. We feel as though we've been taking one step at a time and we've been walking along. So, what's next? It's our Monday to Saturday worship. Just in case I forgot to make the point. Right, I wonder what's on this slide. I shall press a button and see, because if I've got this right, this takes us back to our presentation in December, where I used a Bible story, which was one that it seems to me to describe these issues. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And what we did at that particular juncture, we looked at what he was trying to do, what he did. He actually went up in that way all the way round to Troas. You remember that we showed that there was, I kind of forgotten the name of the road, somebody, I don't know whether anybody can remember it, but there was a motorway that ran along through Iconium, Antioch, and straight to Ephesus. And in fact, Paul wanted to get to Ephesus. That was the end of that particular journey. But instead of going through the obvious route, he found himself travelling in a different direction. Now, what I want to just imagine for a moment, that this story was not about Paul and his Paul and the apostles and his team travelling, but it was about you looking for a new job. Talk to one another, and without writing it down, try and recast that as a story that ends up with you finding a new job. Okay? Have a go. Talk to somebody about it. See where you get to. Just a couple of minutes. Guys, that's enough. Yeah. You need to be doing this all the time when you're reading the Bible. It's a common of garden exercise of recontextualization. It's part of theological reflection. It's the fact that we actually say that this, that then, is to do with now. And what we've got to do is to find the common elements. Now, if you got this right, you would have got hung up on things like kept by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And you would start to make guesses at what that might mean in a job situation. Right? And it might actually be that, yeah, I can remember once when I was going to apply for that job and just looked at it and felt, no, I shouldn't do that. Yeah, or something like that. And another one about the tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. I got turned down. Yeah. You know? So it could be all of those things. They might have had bricks chucked at them. Lad may have missed the bus. Their car might have had a flat. You know, any of these things could have happened. And then for many of us, there will be one or two instances we can point back to in our lives where something as dramatic in encounter terms like a vision occurred to us. Sometimes it will be in a totally different way. You know, I talk about the fact that I always try to allow the Word to prepare me rather than me preparing the Word. And just during this week, I'd seen something when I was reading somewhere and thought, we ought to read that. And I'd sort of press the button, and sure enough, Amazon had sent it to me. But I went into the office on Friday, just popped into the office to sort out a couple of things with David, and looked in my tray. Marion had left something there for me, and I picked it up, went home, and there was an Amazon pack laying on the floor. And Wendy will say, it's not surprising I didn't know what was in it because I order so many things from Amazon. That's not entirely the case. But I picked it up and thought, I wonder what's in here. And I expected a particular book to be in there. And I opened it. I'm holding in my hand a bunch of papers out of a magazine. And the title on the book is the same as the title on the magazine. Now, We wouldn't have the word coincidence if coincidence didn't happen. But then sometimes coincidences are more than that. And I think we have a dual problem. There are some people who go around who are so spiritual, so super spiritual, that every coincidence is something that God, which can end up with it, those people are called nuts, right? But on the other extreme, there are those of us who are sceptics, and we just believe that everything's a coincidence, and it's not possible that God brings things together, and we miss out in those sort of ways. So there's some of the ways we listen to God. Let's progress this, because I want to do just a bit more work on this text. Oh, this was what we looked at, the Trinitarian thing there, where you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got Jesus and God all in the process. Let's get on to the next one. We're looking at this particular idea. You know, I've told the story of how Simon, I've written it up in a book that I ghosted some time ago, or a series of booklets, and how on one occasion when he got really fed up with Simon helping her in the kitchen, he was about 4 or 5, and she sent him out to help me, who was digging the garden, right? Join in with what Father is doing. And Simon helped me. He said, Dad, he said, this is too difficult. You dig it first. Okay, now stand out of the way. Now I'm going to dig it. And he trod it down, and he dug it again. And then he said, now you dig some more. And I dug some more. And I turned up the soil, and there was a worm. He said, wait a moment. And he had to go and get his bucket, and he had to go and rescue the worm to put it in the bucket. Now, Dad, he said, you can dig again. And as I was standing there, I had super, super revelation, which was stood me in God's set. God... in good stead for the rest of my life, because I became conscious of the fact that there are surely times when Jesus says about me helping him out, why for goodness sake don't you go and help the Holy Spirit instead? God could do it far better, but the wonder of it is that he allows us little people to be involved in trying to suggest to him what his priorities should be and the points that he should move out of the way and let us take over. You see, the taking over thing is really big, isn't it, as we get too big for our boots, because that's really where we would like to be in Thingley. We'd like to do the whole job and carry it right the way through and establish Dayspring clones in the traveller community. Now, God may do that. But hey, it's God's work. We're joining in with what he's doing. We are not trying to take over. All right, now that was the diagram, and that's the implicit conversation. Okay, we're going back to the text. Now, I want you just to have a look at some things here. Let's first of all focus on the fact that we're talking about finding out what God is doing and joining in. Look, the first thing that happened was these guys kept on keeping on. Okay, Andy was talking about that prophecy this morning, and I cannot tell you, Andy, how much of an encouragement that is to me to have that. I've had some good encouragements during the week, one of which was that we had, some of you will remember Fumi Akamadi, certainly Tina would anyway, but Fumi contacted us during this week, and she retold the story of how her husband, who had come from a Muslim family, had come to faith in Dayspring. And that was just so brilliant to be reminded of the fact, and the bummer for us was the fact that 6 months after Fumi Addy coming to faith, they moved, and now they've moved to, I think, to Germany or somewhere else, that's just so exciting to have that. And there have been points where I've reflected on Andy's experience over the past 10, 12 years, probably, maybe even more, since that prophecy came, where I thought, Dave, you really missed it this time. You know, that just has not worked out, because there is an extent to which, I think Sue would probably agree with this, you could say that Andy's path in terms of career development over the past 15 years has not been straightforward. I think that's probably true. Now he's functioning in an area for which he was initially qualified and has been trained and has the experience. And God does these things. But he had to keep on keeping on. It would not have been very clever if he'd have stopped and said, right, I'm going on benefits until God shows me what I'm going to do. And so you see these guys, they didn't stay in Iconium or wherever it was, they got off track. They travelled throughout. They were kept from the Holy Spirit by from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came, they tried to enter Bithynia, so they passed by. And during the night, suddenly, Paul has a vision. But even after that, there's another stage involved. They have to get ready. You would have thought, surely if those guys were really spiritual, they would have been 100% good to go before it all happened. Now, well, they probably had to buy boat tickets or something afterwards and sort out when the boats were there and get their food together and so on. But keeping on doing what you're doing is part of the process of listening to what God is doing. You know, you have to get a car moving before you can steer it. Okay, fairly obvious. The other thing I want to say is that we want to take risks with this, and part of the risk is to say to you guys that there is an extent to which that only you, because your rubber hits the road in a different place to my rubber, is to say that you've got to discern what God's saying and how you join in with it. But then there's the problem that if everybody is so preoccupied with what God is showing me as an individual, that, you know, we won't have the strength to come together to do anything. And really interesting here, that Paul and his companions travelled throughout. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter, so they passed by. So it wasn't when Paul came to the border of Mysia, he decided, and the other guys picked the bags up. You know, one of the problems with the way in which we've constructed apostolic teams is that they have become very narrow and pointed at the top. But and of course, this is a really important change. You notice the change from the beginning to the end there? That we can discern something about the book of Acts? It changes from they to we. So we can infer that was the point at which Luke joined them. And so the story from that point on was we become ready. So, what do you know? Is it possible that all this faffing around was just to get Luke on board, who was going to become the media man for the whole team, and was going to give us those brilliant stories, going to twist what Paul thought to make much more emphasis on mission and the charismatic. He was the man who was carrying that. Paul was much more concerned with the static, the ecclesia, as you get in the epistles. But anyway, that's not our talk this morning. So there is, first of all, the fact that we need to be moving. Second of all, that that we have the issue of the fact that these things are corporate. Right, let's look at another piece of Bible. Let me read this through quickly. On the day we know as Palm Sunday, the great crowd that had come from the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Okay? So, sir, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Now, you don't actually know whether Jesus met up with the guys. Interesting, ambiguous at the time. But 5 days later, Philip asked, this was after the Last Supper, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. There's another bit in there that isn't in the text. It's where Jesus smacks his hand on his forehead and goes, duh. Okay? Right, so Jesus says, duh. Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Very truly I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, this week I've had lots of conversations with David, I've had lots of conversations with Andy, and I was talking about this because there was a word that had hit me during the week, and it was the word behold. A very old-fashioned word, isn't it? But we know what the word behold means. It's got a sort of special meaning. So we would like to meet up with Jesus, these guys say. Jesus says something different a bit later on, if you're in the Greek words. It says, anyone who has beheld me has beheld the Father. Okay? What's the difference between seeing and beholding? What would be a modern equivalent, do you think, for the word behold? Sorry?
Encounter.
That's certainly, yeah, I think that's the implication.
I would go to how they say in Avatar, they say, I see you.
I see you.
It's much more than I see you.
I behold you. Yeah. That's actually I think from what I remember reading the dictionary on this is a second and derivative meaning from behold is to fix your eyes on, isn't it? Okay, most couples will know what I'm going to talk about here. This doesn't happen to me very often, but it can happen. It's very rare. As I've got older, it has happened less. But I think of an occasion on which Wendy and I are sitting drinking coffee outside in Covent Garden a few years back. And Wendy says to me, you are staring. What are you looking at? I don't know, but she's not wearing enough clothes. Right? Now, I told that story to Andy. I won't tell you what he said, but he said that every man in the room will sort of be aware of that. Now, incidentally, there is the what you do with that stuff is quite important, because that's where you start to talk about the lust of the eyes. But once again, we're not talking about that this morning. You know what it is to fix your eyes upon? The fact that you suddenly notice something. And you can be looking out the window, and it can be a woodpecker that appears. Or it can be a very tall girl who seems to have an extremely short skirt. Right? Now, the idea that what comes here is, it seems to me that the word is focus. Right? Those two who have focused on me have focused on the Father. And it seems to me that all this last year, I was really getting into this business of being aware of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. And goodness me, if immediately that one starts being cracked, a new dimension doesn't open up, the thought of focusing. And I've spent the last two or three days actually with my timer on, and every couple of hours I've endeavoured to take 5 minutes just focusing on the Lord. Now, you probably won't be able to do that every couple of hours, but what I want to leave you with this morning is, don't worry about what God is doing initially. Let's start off with focusing on Him. Okay? Dead simple. You focus. And I made a deal with myself that I'm not going to tell you about what happened when I focused, because it's probably different to what's going to happen when you focus. But just have a think about all the different images you get in your mind about focusing. You did optics at school. We had little brown wooden boxes when we did optics, and you had lenses that you put in various positions, and combs and prisms, and it separated out the spectrum and all that sort of thing. But here's a little thing on just see how this helps. Just think individually about this as we go through. Just going to push the volume down because we've run out of time, but I wanted to say this whole focusing thing is about something that is absolutely core to Day Springs values. We know there are lots and lots of charismatic churches that put a real emphasis on the presence of God, but for them it can be about a bungee Jesus, where Jesus sort of comes down to a meeting, you do the worship so that that you feel the presence of God, you know the presence of God, and then he zips away out of the meeting and you're left to live your life on your own for the rest of the week, and then you come back and you hope the same thing happens next Sunday. Our commitment is to move towards a whole life spirituality where the intensity of the presence of God, just like Brother Lawrence said in the 16th century, is just as strong if you're working in the kitchen as if you're at the most holy devotions. That seems to me to be where we're pushing. And it is out of that flow of true spirituality that we begin to find out what God is doing and join in with him. Does it matter? Yes, it does matter, because it enables you, when you look at your kids, to say, what is God doing here? What can I join in with? It enables you, when you're going to the shops, to ask that. It enables you, in your business environment, to actually say, what is God doing? Where is the kingdom of God coming in this company? You know, you've got Michelle who works in for a housing association, isn't it? And if you like, I know I'm understating this perhaps, it's quite easy in that environment to think of where the kingdom of God might be coming. It's for Chiquita in school, relatively easy for Dane, it's there. But I don't know what it's like for some of you others. You know, it's easy to determine in the broad, but I think sometimes those of us who have worked or work in the caring professions, it's easy to think so much about the broad brush that you miss out the specifics. And for those of you who work in high-tech environments, it may be that the opposite is true. You know, that you can think so much about the specific, you forget about the generality. But guys, this is about where the rubber meets the road. It is about Dayspring beginning to get clear. Well, we're not beginning to get clear, but moving on to the next stage of being clear about what God is drawing us to. And that is about being a church which, if you use these words, is centripetal rather than centrifugal, that pushes out towards the edges rather than pulls in towards the centre, that it is that sees the centre as a way of holding us together, not so we can enjoy it particularly, but so that it drives us out with our resources. So here's what I'm saying to you this week: let's find out what God's doing. It'll be 2 weeks before I talk on this subject again. Let's be in a position where we can share and where we can talk about how we are joining in at every point, everywhere. Number one, be aware of God. Number two, focus in on him. Number three, once you're through that, I think you begin to see what he's doing. You'll find it easier to join in. Let's quick prayer. Father, send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit to not only think, to not only read scripture, to not only reflect on our experiences, but to encounter you time and time again in the lives of the people, including our families, we come across. Amen. Amen. Amen.